Thank you so much for having me here this morning. I'm going to start off by reading you a poem. The Dreams of Angels. Dream of a world where people disagree, but hold on to each other. Dream of a world where respect and dignity are priorities for everyone. Dream of a world where power and influence are valued as opportunities to do good. Dream of a world where all children are free to laugh and play, and imagine how to make the world a better place. As you know, February is Black History Month, and this Wednesday, February 12th, is President Abraham Lincoln's birthday. I want to honor Lincoln today and look at the time of his presidency and see how his influence has given us the expectation that we can make this world a better place. It was rumored at the time that Lincoln was a spiritualist, but whether Lincoln was a spiritualist or not is not as important as the fact that Lincoln was a deeply spiritual man. He followed his convictions and ultimately changed this country for the better. Looking back at U.S. history, the Civil War period is one of the most difficult times for us to contemplate. It's difficult to turn the pages of history back to look at slavery, to look at the Civil War and its casualties, to look at the assassination of Lincoln, to look at the hatred and the hurt. But we do look back because we don't want to forget the sacrifices that were made. We remember our eighth principle that says that every day is a new beginning, a new opportunity for us to grow. And understanding our connections with the past helps us to appreciate the freedoms we have. Though looking at Lincoln's period of struggle is painful, its fruits are freedom and reconciliation and tolerance. Only by having an appreciation for this difficult time in history can we avoid repeating it. When we think of February, you know, it's certainly a lot more pleasant to think of celebrating Valentine's Day and participating in Random Acts of Kindness Week, which starts today. But we can only do that with a full heart because of the great changes made in this country since the Civil War. Black History Month invites us to honor the men and women who risked their lives to change the world. People like Lincoln, who had a vision and believed in that vision. Lincoln believed in providence, the absolute hand of God in all things. Of course, there's evidence to support that Lincoln was an in-the-closet spiritualist, but couldn't declare his convictions because of political reasons. So Lincoln was a politician, but he was not just that one thing. He was a lawyer, a really good storyteller, a man with vivid dreams, spiritual visions, and was constantly growing spiritually and learning from his experiences. Before he became president, he had weekly readings in New York City with J.B. Conklin, who was a gifted transmedium at the time. Conklin reports that he never knew who Lincoln was because he never gave his name. It wasn't until later that he realized who he was. He saw him giving a speech. Lincoln would ask questions in his mind, and Conklin would answer them with words from the spiritual realm. Lincoln attended seances with his wife in Georgetown with the Lurie family once he became president. Eventually, he met the medium Nettie Colburn Maynard, and he invited her to hold seances at the White House. But it should be noted that Lincoln was not an idle curiosity seeker. He sought counsel with wise and experienced ones in spirit that could lead him through the most difficult struggle of his presidency, the American Civil War. As soon as Lincoln was elected, his wishes of stopping the expansion of slavery in the U.S. territories prompted the immediate secession of several southern states. Lincoln received death threats and traveled to D.C. for his inauguration by secret train in the middle of the night for safety. He had a bodyguard, but often took long walks alone through the streets of D.C. in the middle of the night to contemplate. Now, Lincoln became a shrewd politician through the assistance of his wife, Mary, who came from a political family in the South. She helped him build up his political clout by making important introductions and teaching him how to conduct himself early on when his shyness and lack of social graces could have hindered any political aspirations. She knew how to market Lincoln. But in addition to being the wind beneath his wings, she's credited with being interested in spiritualism. I think perhaps the spin doctors of the day found it easier to say that Mrs. Lincoln was dabbling in spiritualism than to admit that Lincoln had a valid belief in seeking out communion with those in the spiritual realm. Lincoln never joined a church, but he embodied the convictions of spiritualists. He was deeply spiritual, and it is said he mastered the cadence of the Bible so that all of his speeches have a similar cadence. He often told stories to make a point, like the parables in the Bible. He was deeply disturbed by the injustice of slavery. It was such a part of the life and economy of the South that he felt no politician could move to end it without ending their political career. Now, Lincoln is called the Great Emancipator, but he did not start out to be that. He sought simply to keep the United States united. He wanted to preserve the Union. Though he hated slavery, he had originally thought it's only possible to stop the spread of slavery to move into the territories. So that's what he kind of ran on. That was his platform. But through Lincoln's spiritual consultations and seances, and his own contemplation of the promise of spirit to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, he decided to move forward. So he finally signed the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. He realized that he could and had to end slavery. Sterry had told him that it would be one of the greatest achievements of his presidency. American slavery is such a horrible mark in our history that we often don't want to look at it or even acknowledge it. When we see newspapers of that period and see the advertisements for slaves for sale, we cringe. I mean, we weep. We shake our heads in disbelief. As many as 300,000 enslaved African Americans were sold through Richmond to points in the lower South by the 1860s. Slaves were evaluated like livestock, not human beings. When slaves were sold at auction, they were stripped of their clothes so that buyers could inspect their bodies for defects. They had to show their teeth, and buyers would inspect their mouth and eyes as if they were buying a horse. They were often separated from loved ones, sold to different owners. Children parted from their fathers, never to be seen again. The cities of Alexandria, Norfolk, and Richmond each had several large slave trading firms that bought and sold slaves locally and for export from Virginia. Right on well-known Duke Street in Alexandria, Virginia, was the slave trade firm of Franklin and Armfield. Established in 1828, by 1835, the firm was responsible for almost half of the slave trade by sea between New Orleans and the Virginia-Maryland area. Their Alexandria slave pen complex operated until the city of Alexandria surrendered to the Union Army in 1861. If you saw the movie 12 Years a Slave, it's interesting to note that Northrop, the main character in the film, was sold by James H. Birch, who co-owned the Alexandria slave pen at the time. The site now is the Northern Virginia Urban League House, and contains their offices and has a museum in its basement. According to the Alexandria Black History Museum, a brutal institution with old and deep roots in Virginia, slavery still haunts the American consciousness and affects our attitudes towards race, class, and equality in the United States. You might consider visiting this museum. It's located in what would be only high school Alexandria until 1965, the Parker Gray High School. As horrible as the practice of slavery is for us to recall, the history is War is equally chilling. The Civil War, 1861 to 1865, 625,000 deaths, 420 each day, almost 2% of the 1860 population dead. The Civil War has more dead than and the physical destruction of much of the South. Courthouses and vital records burned to the ground in a majority of Southern towns. Channels of commerce, train lines destroyed, preventing the South from exporting its goods after the war as well as during the war. But no one in this country was without some kind of personal loss as a result of the war. And the extreme hatred and agony that hung over the country was palpable. Lincoln was reelected to a second term, and shortly after, the war ended. But the Union was shaky at best. The South was occupied by Union military troops to enforce the peace and the freedom of former slaves. Hate groups like the KKK carried out their own insurgency war. Like modern-day terrorists, people never knew when they would strike. Lincoln was wise enough to know that patching up the differences between the North and South would take much more than the surrender signed at Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia. In his second inaugural address, March 4, 1865, Lincoln begins the healing process with his words. He doesn't want to treat the defeated Southerners harshly, but encourages us to work together to move forward. He ends his address with the iconic words, "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right. Let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations." In attendance at his speech was John Wilkes Booth, famous actor of the day and Southern sympathizer, several of his conspirators. John was the Brad Pitt of the day, so handsome and popular, he really thought he could get away with just about anything, including his plot to assassinate Lincoln and his entire cabinet. And he thought he would be treated as a liberator of the tyrant Lincoln. Just a month after Lincoln's second inauguration, the murder at Ford's Theater took place. Lincoln had had a dream with a premonition of his death. He saw himself walking through the White House and seeing people sobbing and grieving, and then he saw a coffin lying in state. In the dream, he asked what had happened, and he was told the president had been killed. In addition to this dream, we understand that Lincoln had been given advice from mediums with regards to the assassination attempt, and specifically given warnings about not attending the theater that night. What a loss for our country was Lincoln's death. One wonders if the Reconstruction period would have gone more smoothly with conservative Republican Lincoln at the helm instead of the radical Republicans who took over. With Lincoln seeking advice from the councils on the earth plane and the spiritual plane, it would have been an ideal administration to bind up the country's wounds. Lincoln wasn't an attractive man by today's standards, but he had a spiritual core and depth that we are hard-pressed to find in today's politicians. He had personal courage and conviction. People often forget that one of Lincoln's sons, 11-year-old Willie Lincoln, died from sickness during the war, and that Lincoln was grieving personally for his son, as well as for the many others who died during the war. He felt he was personally responsible for the death of the war, and this weighed on him. Some say the burden of the conflict weighed on him physically, so much so that he walked hunched over. He aged rapidly and looked tired and sickly during his entire presidency. So on the week of Lincoln's birthday, we take pause to honor his sacrifices, to remember the great emancipator during this Black History Month time of reflection, to remember that Lincoln believed in treating others as we wish to be treated. He believed in the spiritual destiny of the United States. He had been advised that the U.S. would be a great nation, most notably because of the difficulties it had encountered and dealt with. During his presidency, he established Thanksgiving Day to give thanks to God. He added, "In God we trust," to our coins. He had faith in providence. His experiences with the spiritual realm gave him confidence to carry out his convictions to end slavery. Let us take a lesson from history and strive to have malice toward none and charity for all. Let us continue the work he began, the work of loving our fellow man, even the ones we feel have wronged us. Let us seek to follow our own spiritual counsels, to give thanks to God, to trust in God, to trust in providence, that infinite intelligence is everywhere, that there is nowhere that God is absent. There is light, natural law, and love working in all ways and in all situations. Principle number 8. We affirm that the doorway to reformation is never closed against any soul here or hereafter. Simplified, this means that every day is a new beginning for us individually and collectively as a spiritual community and as a nation. I just have one request of you today to make this world a better place. Take action. Today begins Random Acts of Kindness Week. Now, some people resolve to smile at 10 people each day, or perhaps call a loved one that they haven't talked to in a while. School kids often pledge to invite the new kid to play with them at recess. A young man from our area went out last year with some of his friends into the streets of D.C. during Random Acts of Kindness Week, and they held up signs that said things like, "Smile! I'll give you up to someone. Don't be so hard on yourself." You could do that. But as today, we have just, 6 days to get ready for Friday, which is Valentine's Day. I thought, So I brought some Valentine's cards, and I'm going to pass them out to you right now. I had this great idea. I thought we could each write a nice Valentine to our senior friends who live 2 doors down at Sunrise. And wouldn't that be fun to make them smile, for them to get a card from someone they don't even know? Like, "Hey, you're loved. We care about you. We remember you." So I thought this would be the perfect opportunity. You can do it now. We can put the baskets in the back and you can drop them in at the end of the service. And we can make somebody's day. Somebody we don't even know, and show them that we care. So remember, if we believe in a vision of justice, equality, forgiveness, love, and light, we will have the nation that Lincoln dreamt of in 1865.